The next chapter of Once Upon a Journey is dedicated to Chana, Shena, Musya, Menucha, and Bracha. Chapter 16 is called The Baal Shem Tov. Reb Zalman Chaim the Shamish also delivered Shirim in the Shul at the center of the marketplace. He taught the Parsha of the Week and Midrashim. Reb Zalman Leib once happened to notice that the Shamish's Shirim drew heavy crowds of eager listeners, while his own Shirim were not nearly as popular. The audience for his mind-bending lectures on the Gemara and its commentaries consisted of just a handful of Talmidei Chachamim. The reason for this was obvious enough. The town of Yanovich included far more ordinary and uneducated Jews than scholars. Most of the residents of Yanovich could not understand a word of what Reb Zalman Leib was teaching. Reb Zalman Leib, however, would not consider reasons or explanations. Instead, his heart burned with fierce jealousy and anger. Being a most ungrateful person, he began to bully the kind Shamish. At first, the Shamish could not understand what the miller's son-in-law wanted from him. Eventually, he realized what was truly bothering Reb Zalman Leib. He decided that he would restrain himself and not respond to the insults and humiliation. He was one of the precious individuals regarding whom Chazal state, "Others shame them, but they do not shame others. They hear themselves being insulted, but do not respond." The Shamish went further than that because he was deeply pained by the fact that Reb Zalman Leib could have such terrible midas. He firmly decided that he would try to change the character of the arrogant scholar for the better. His first step was highly unusual. The more often Reb Zalman Leib publicly insulted and oppressed him, the greater respect he showed him in return. For example, whenever Reb Zalman Leib came anywhere close to him, the Shamish immediately sprang to his feet as a public sign of honor. The Shamish went to everyone he thought capable of understanding a scholarly shir and demanded, "Why don't you attend the shir of Reb Zalman Leib?" Reb Zalman Leib could not remain indifferent to the excessive honor that the Shamish paid him. Before long, his attitude began to show signs of improvement. At first, he stopped insulting and belittling the Shamish. Then, he even began speaking to him in a soft and polite tone. Eventually, he treated him with open respect. Reb Zalman Chaim's method had worked wonders. Reb Zalman Leib began to treat other people more respectfully as well. He eventually stopped considering himself more worthy than everyone else. He became a friendly person who was ready to listen to what others had to say. Those who knew him well were pleasantly surprised to see just how much he had changed. To be certain, the change did not occur overnight. It took a long time to transform a cold-natured, impatient, and arrogant person into a warm, personable man of extreme patience. As a result of his changed attitude, Reb Zalman Leib changed the way he delivered shiurim, and he now attracted large crowds. This was the impressive scene that greeted Baruch on his arrival in Yanovich in search of Reb Zalman Chaim. After a few days, Baruch left Yanovich not having unearthed any clues as to where the Shamish may be. He headed for Dobra Missel to pay another visit to Eliezer Ruvain, the blacksmith, and his family. The weather was pleasant, but the warm sun rays had melted the remains of the winter snow and turned the roads into muddy trails that made walking difficult. Baruch, as usual, was deeply lost in his thoughts and barely noticed such unimportant matters. After a few hours of slugging through the mud, Baruch's feet grew tired, and he was forced to stop for a rest. A wide tree stump caught his eye. He made his way over to it and sat down. Just then, a horse and wagon came into view. The driver was a Jew who looked like one of the laborers from the nearby villages. "Young man," he called out to Baruch in a friendly tone, "why are you sitting all alone at the edge of the road? Come, climb into my wagon, and I will take you to your destination, or at least part of the way." Baruch was happy to oblige, and he climbed into the wagon. When they reached a fork in the road, the wagon driver said he would be turning left towards the village of Zavkina. Baruch thanked the driver for his kindness and took the road to the right that led to the village of Yutina. He knew of a Jewish-owned roadside inn in Yutina and planned to spend the night there. Baruch had not walked far from the crossroads when he sensed someone hurrying after him in an attempt to catch up. The man was unfamiliar, but looked like a Talmud Chacham. "The swollen river overflowed its banks and flooded all of its surroundings," said the young man as he reached Baruch. "You will not be able to cross the river and continue your journey, because even the bridge has been swept away. It's terribly dangerous to approach the river at the moment," he warned. "Look, not far from here is my father-in-law's inn. You are invited to stay with us." Baruch thanked the young man for his consideration in advising him of the danger and accepted his kind invitation. Baruch and the young man, Nassan Shlomo, became instant friends and struck up a lively Torah conversation as they walked. When they reached the inn, Baruch was introduced to its owner, Reb Nachman Yisrael, and his other son-in-law, Aryeh Yehuda. He soon discovered that Reb Nachman Yisrael was the son-in-law of an exceptionally wealthy man from the city of Zlobin. After his marriage, Reb Nachman Yisrael lived in his in-law's fancy home for 20 years, and his father-in-law supplied him with all of his needs. Then, one day, he disappeared. He was seen leaving the city in the company of a stranger, but nobody knew where or why they had gone. When he returned sometime later, he informed his father-in-law that he no longer wished to be supported. From now on, he would work on his own to support his family. His rich father-in-law was shocked. He could not understand what had happened to his daughter's learned husband. He had no choice but to agree. From then on, Reb Nachman Yisrael lived in the inn that he rented from the local pirates. He also arranged for additional scholarly Jews to live nearby. His two daughters married Talmidei Chachamim, and within a short time, a small but solid Jewish community formed around the inn. "Would you like to know who it was that convinced my father-in-law to do all this?" Nassan Shlomo asked Baruch, as if sharing a secret. Baruch nodded, looking quizzically at Nassan Shlomo. He was most eager to discover the identity of the man who had convinced the Jew to abandon his comfortable home and his full-time Torah study, and to establish a Jewish community in the middle of nowhere. "It was the tzaddik from Podolia," announced Nassan Shlomo in a tone of awe. "Everyone refers to him as the Holy Baal Shem Tov. The tzaddik instructed my father-in-law to become an innkeeper and create a community." Baruch was more curious than ever. Far from explaining anything, Nassan Shlomo's answer raised even more questions. He had never heard of the Baal Shem Tov. What did the name mean? Who was this tzaddik? If he lived in Podolia, what did he have to do with Reb Nachman Yisrael? And why did he want him to create a new community? It was Baruch's first time hearing of this tzaddik. But, as we will see, it was certainly not his last.